Well, thank you for being here in church today. We gather together as a faith family to celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that you brought a copy of God's Word with you. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 13. If you didn't have to bring a copy, there's a Bible in the back of the seat in front of you. And if there's that one's taken, you can reach up two or three. We do Bible drills in our Christian school. So I'm going to see how fast you get to Hebrews chapter 13. All of our students that go to Town Crew Christian Academy, I'm sure they would beat you. Aren't y'all sure of that? You're already there. I see it. All right, very good. They can find a passage of Scripture now in less than, the high school, middle school, for the majority. The winners can find it in less than about 15 seconds, anywhere in the Bible. You say, I doubt that. Well, I would challenge you, if you doubt that, come and see me after church. I know there's at least two of them that I'll put you up against right here. And I'm not a betting man, but I will put $10 per round, and I'm doing the rounds, right? They're just that quick. They can beat me. It's amazing to see how fast they're practicing on their own, how quick they can go to the Scriptures. I saw Martin say, my fingers won't do it anymore. Martin, it's not just fingers. They're quick to get to the chapters. They can get to the chapter verse really, really fast. Bible drills. Have you guys did Bible drills when you were a student? Anybody when you were a kid or you did Bible drills in church? Well, that's a thing of the past so many times. And it really, Bible drills were made to teach you how to use your Bible. What Old Testament, New Testament, where to find different passages of Scripture. And so it's very helpful in life. Well, Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to get going today because we still have a lot of service left today. And we're so excited today to begin our worship service with baptism. And we get to end our service with the Lord's Supper. We get to actually do both ordinances that the Lord Jesus Christ commanded the church to do. I'm thankful for Pastor Hedgepath last week that he filled in for me. He started a little controversy. And my head is not even close as big as his head. He stretched my microphone like he saw. He mentioned that. He tried to justify that big head of his. But anyway, I know he'll be watching this today. So he did stretch my microphone. He didn't break it, but he stretched it. So he said both of us have large heads. And that may be true, but he is one size bigger than my head. That's for sure. So I like him when I see him. Hebrews 13, we're only going to cover five verses this morning. We're going to jump in. Title of the sermon today is, Let Love Lead. The Bible says this, Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So, and then we'll read verse 6, but we won't be able to cover it today. So we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And that comes, of course, from Psalm 118, verse 6. Let's pray together. Father God, give us the wisdom to understand your word today. Not only wisdom to talk about it, but Lord, wisdom to actually apply it as we leave this place. We love you and we thank you for loving us. Thank you for so many blessings you poured out on us. We need you every hour. In Jesus' name we pray for his sake. Amen. If you didn't receive a bulletin on your way in, I don't know if there's any left. There's a lot of folks today. If you need a bulletin, would you raise your hand? Our ushers will bring you one, or somebody next door to you will bring you one and deliver. Can just somebody give their bulletin up over here to the left if we'll do that? And just raise your hand. Ushers will find you. They'll find you. Also, at the end of the service today, we're going to be participating in the Lord's Supper. If you need assistance with the Lord's Supper, you need it brought to you because we as a faith family come down and take it. And if you're a guest with us, you're a Christian today, and you need it brought to you, just slip your hand up, and the deacons will actually bring the elements of the Lord's Supper to you. You two young guys can go get your own bulletins, all right? Y'all can find your own, all right? So y'all are young, strong. You'll get any more bulletins over here? Dan, get any more bulletins? Run across and see Mr. Dan. Come on across. This is the fastest kid in school, so we'll get him over there to get a bulletin from you, all right? All right, let's get going. It's important because there's notes to be taken today as we look into the Word of God. So we're going to go back and forth from the Bible into Holy Scripture, from Scripture to notes. Look at your notes, if you would, for a second. Scripture speaks with a clear and steady witness. God's very nature is love. We read that in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. We understand that God is love. Say that with me. God is love. All right, I know some of you, the kids are here watching today, so help the kids say it, your grandkids. Ready? Say it one more time. God is love. Now, the word love, obviously, from God, that describes his character. Now, don't reverse it. Love is not God, okay? Remember that. God is love, but love is not God. Love describes his character. Love is the fruit of the Spirit when we become a Christian. What does the Bible say? He's given us the gift of the spirits, and they are love, joy, peace, right? It says the fruit of the Spirit, the singular fruit. I call it the root fruit because from love comes patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness that the Bible says God wants us to exercise as we live each day. Jesus told his disciples, this is how everybody in our community is going to know that you're a Christian. How will they know? Because you love one another. This is characteristics throughout all of Scripture. God has shown his nature, his character of love from Genesis all the way through Revelation. Even in, for salvation today, you and I, if you've never given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, Jesus himself was speaking on behalf of God, and he said, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. He was talking about himself, that whosoever believes in him, in Jesus, shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting or eternal life. That's what, because God is love, God's character is love, God's nature is love, and when you become a Christian today, your responsibility is to love. Now, out of this passage of Scripture, so many people read this and go, oh, I wonder where if I've ever entertained angels. Has anyone ever thought that in yourself, to yourself? Everybody has a gas pump story. There was a woman walked up to me, a man walked up to me, I gave him $5, and they disappeared. I don't know where they went. Must have been an angel, right? We saw these crazy shows, Touched by an Angel. Anything that Hollywood puts out about angels, it's false. Every time an angel appears in Scripture, an angel, now don't mix up the creatures in Revelation, the things that are in heaven. There's some creatures in heaven that we can't fully explain. There's some strange looking beasts up there, right? They're creatures. Don't lump everything in the same category as angel. They're supernatural beings that are not angels. Angels, by nature, by definition, are sent ones, ones who are sent. They're the post office from heaven, all right? They're the postmaster sends out, get this courier, get this to my human, get it to my righteous one that I want to actually tell the story. So they are sent ones. They're angelic beings sent to do the work of God. Now, there's seraphim. If you ever read the Bible, they have six wings. I always remember S for S. They have six wings covering their body. The cherubs, they're covered on the ark. They have four wings. They're unique looking creatures, but we kind of, as Christians, we kind of just dump everything into angels. Those aren't angels. Angels are the sent ones. Angels are the ones who actually have a job to go from heaven to earth. We think of Gabriel. We think of Michael. They come with a message. I come from a message from God. Mary, you're going to be with a child. You're going to have a baby. Jesus. Well, how can that be? God has chosen you, God has blessed you, and the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. The angel always tells a story. Now, angels also bring destruction. If you look at the Old Testament, some of my favorite war stories are in the Old Testament. I love reading the Old Testament. And if you've ever liked war stories, that's a great place to go read and look at God's faithfulness. Angels come, one angel, I think he kills 185,000 or 186,000 men, warriors, at one time. One angel. So they're powerful beings. They are messengers from God, but don't get so hung up on Hebrews 13 that you focus on entertaining angels. Don't do that. Focus on the first verse. What does the first verse say when it starts? Focus on this. Let brotherly love continue, period. Your translation might say, or you got footnotes, it says, show hospitality. And if we think back in the Old Testament, because remember, chapter 11, we called that the faith chapter, right? It was the hall of faith. And then we said that chapter 12 was what? Anybody remember? I'm a terrible teacher, preacher, I know. It was the hope chapter. And what is chapter 13? Because we're now here, keywords in the first sentence. It's the love chapter, all right? Faith, hope, and love. What's the greatest of all three? Love, according to what Scripture says. So here we are, and it says, let brotherly love continue. Well, and brotherly love to who? Brotherly love insists that it's Christian to Christian. Look to the left and to the right. There's got to be a Christian around you somewhere. There's one up here. I'm a Christian. But look to your left and right. Go ahead. I know it's weird to look at people next to you. You're not sure where they stand with Christ. I understand. But the Bible says there's brotherly love. Where does charity, another word we don't like today, charity simply means this in simple definition, is love in action. Did you know that? Charity is love in action. We like to give charity, but how many of you have ever had to receive charity from someone? Someone did something for you that you couldn't do for yourself. Raise your hand if you've ever done that. Did you hate it? It made you sick to your stomach. I can give it, but I don't want to receive it. Well, we got to get over ourselves. That's called P-R-I-D-E, is it not? Pride. I don't want you to do something for me. And I oftentimes, if you ever come to me, and if we've helped many, many people over the 17 years, and what I do is say, come sit in my seat, and I'm going to sit in your seat. If you were me and I was you, would you help me? And the person always says, yes. Then we switch seats and say, okay, let me help you. Because you were me just a few seconds ago, and you said yes. So I would let you help me, but I would come with struggles. I'm the world's worst. I don't want anyone to help me. It's got to get really bad before I'm going to ask for help. Y'all are that way as well. Why are you looking at me like that, like you're so pious? Not me, Pastor. I live a balanced, well life, right? Yeah, we love to give it, but we don't also receive it well. So charity, simply love in action. Let others love you because the Bible commands us to bear one another's burdens. The Bible commands us here, let brotherly love continue. And I told about this morning in Bible study, and I would encourage you, strongly encourage you to come to the 9 o'clock Catalyst. There's a class for every single human that's in here. From bed babies all the way through the most senior adults, there's a class for you to ask questions and to engage and to have fellowship and community with your brothers and sisters at Town Creek Baptist Church. You don't have to be a member for anything here. You can come and be a part of that. But he says, let brotherly love continue. Well, society, today we have this new thing, right? It's not really. We like to go out to the communities. We want to actually show that social love out there. We want to say, well, Pastor, we should be outreaching to people. That is true. We should be reaching. The Bible tells us to go. Jesus told us to go, to go, to go. But the social gospel is not the gospel. If I go and help you and just keep feeding you every week, what am I doing to you? I'm making you dependent on me. The old story is don't just fish for someone and give them a fish. But what do? Teach them how to fish. So each week we can minister in Jesus' name. But where does ministry begin? It begins right here at 250 Town Creek Road for us. Love, charity begins in the house of God. Even judgment begins here. We are to judge ourselves, to look at things and say, we're not measuring up to what God's word says. We need to fix it. The Bible says if I can't fix it, another brother or sister is supposed to come alongside to me and say, hey, Clint, can I talk to you for a second? And listen, what you're doing is not right. Or what you're saying is not right. Or how you're acting is not right. And that's what the Bible says in Matthew 18. If a brother's in sin, go to them quietly. If they won't change, then take two or three witnesses with you. And if they won't change still, bring them before the church. Has anyone ever been a part of that? Where someone was actually, verse 4 was violated here, and we had to bring it before the church. What happens if we bring it before the church? Church discipline is what it's called. We had 40 people leave our church that Sunday and say, I know it was wrong, but I don't like the way we did it. Well, there's no way to tell you how to do it. Jesus just says what? Do it. Do it in what's the manner we do it in, though? We do it in love because if we read 1 and 2 Corinthians, we'll find out there's church discipline there, but the man is restored sometime later back to the church. Restoration is what we always seek. Is it always possible? Unfortunately, it is not always possible. Well, look back through your notes, if you would. Though Jesus Christ, we are not merely invited but commanded to live in his love, we must love God with all of our hearts and love our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus said, in this the law and the prophets are what? Completely fulfilled. What was the law of Jesus then? If he fulfilled you said it, it's love. His law was love. You say, well, Pastor, it sounds too easy because today we have so many different words for love, right? Or some uses of love. We love grandma. We love pepperoni pizza. We love our car. We love air conditioning. We just say love, 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 love. And we use the word interchangeably all the time. And it's the word here, let brotherly love. There's a city in America where there's not a whole lot of brotherly love much anymore. Do you know what city it is? The city of brotherly love? Philadelphia. And that's what this word here is in your Bible. This is where that word comes from. This is where Philadelphia comes from. This type of love. Let brotherly love continue. This is not a romantic love, even though it talks about it in verse 4. This is a brotherly love where I'm going to help you, you help me. We're going to help each other because we have a job to do. We have a calling to do. And what is our purpose for living today? What is your purpose? I don't care what your title is in society. I don't care if you're retired or what your job is, but what is your purpose? Your purpose is simply to do what? Bring God glory and enjoy Him. That's right. Thank you. Students know this from school. Bring God glory and enjoy Him. That's it. If you're a doctor, bring God glory and enjoy Him. If you pick up trash, bring God glory and enjoy Him. If you're retired, bring God glory and enjoy Him. Whatever you do, students, whatever you do, your job is to bring God glory and to enjoy Him. God, listen, He blesses you with that. That's your whole purpose for living. That's why you exist, is to bring God glory and to enjoy Him. Here's the question. Are you bringing God glory? Is your life measured by bringing God glory? You can measure that. You know how you were this past week or yesterday or coming to church. I won't ask you to raise hands because the children are in here this day, today because it's a family day because of the Lord's Supper. But how many of you guys were almost killing each other to get to church? Get in the car. Mom, I can't find my shoes. I don't care. You're going to church with one shoe on. Anybody ever been there, done that? Anyone besides me and Wendy when the kids were little? Get in the car crying. Going to church is like the worst terror ever of the week. When I went into the ministry, I was like, it's beautiful. I get to leave Wendy and the kids at home because I got to be at church early. And for the last 29 years, I've had nothing but peace driving to work. It's been beautiful to church. And she's had to deal with the kids at home as she got them ready. And we see it, y'all, especially in the preschoolers. We see those multicolor socks or no socks or underwear is on the outside of the pants or something like that. It's all kind of things that happen. We see it and we laugh because we've all been there, done that, or have experienced that. That's what the church is all about. We love, laugh together. We eat together. We have community. We know we're imperfect people serving a perfect God. And it looks weird sometimes. It's strange. But that's who we are. That's who we're called to let brotherly love continue. And that brotherly love is for the good brother and the not so good brother. Y'all got somebody in your family that it's just hard to love them? It's even hard sometimes to like them? And you don't want to tell everybody they have the same last name as you? Anybody there? You got any of those family members, those brothers? Raise your hand. Anybody? You got any friends like that? You might be that person. That's why you're not raising your hand. You might be the one everybody else is talking about. So the brotherly love is the ones that are easy to love and the ones that are hard to love. And everybody in between. Who does God love? For God so loved the world. And that's not the planet, even though he loves his creation. That's you and me. He's talking about humans. God loves us. Look at the second point there. And by the way, I have scriptures to go along with scripture there, so you can go on and look for yourself if you spend time with the Bible. When salvation takes root, the Holy Spirit bears fruit when? Immediately. And the lead fruit, or the root fruit, as I like to call it, is love. God's own love planted deep within our soul presses outward, longing to be expressed. God is just waiting for me and for you to express what He's already given you. We've talked about it before, and someone says, Pastor, I just need some patience to deal with this situation. Have you ever read Galatians 5, 22 and 23? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Your Bible says, my Bible says long suffering. It means the same thing. That's just the King James version of saying it. So do you need to pray for patience if you're a Christian? Listen, you need to pray to, Lord, help me exercise it, because patience has been given to you as a gift. When you receive the love of Christ, you receive the patience of Christ. The problem is not the love and the problem is not the patience, and the problem is not even the Lord who gave it to you. The problem is you. It's the person who's brushing their teeth in the mirror in front of you. That's the person that has the problem. It's not God. God never has a problem, ever. He never sins. Amen? And He promised that, listen, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and all those things. Do you have all those things? I just told you, you get them immediately when you become a Christian. You don't have to wait for somebody to lay on hands. I know there's churches that teach that, but God does not teach that in the Scripture. Paul did lay on hands in Scripture when the church was being launched, but you don't need me as a pastor to touch you in any kind of way and give you the fruit of the Spirit or give you the second anointing of the Holy Spirit. You get everything at the time of salvation. When you're saved, immediately the Holy Spirit steps in and says, now, we're going to clean this place up. You are an angry beaver, right? How do you learn your anger? Do you know? From angry people. The proverb says, don't hang around an angry man lest you learn his ways. And if you've had an angry parent, that'll make an angry child really quick. And it's not just an angry child. It's exponentially angry child. It's anger to the next, whatever the third or fourth power. An angry parent makes a bitter, angry child. What? Who breaks the bitterness? Who makes it better? This whole series is called Jesus is Better. Who can take your bitterness and your anger and your frustration, your anxiety, whatever your hang-up is, who can take that and make it better? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you do that? It's J-O-Y. You want joy in your life? We talked about it before. How do I get joy? I'm mad. I'm bitter, right? I'm like Ruth. When you come out, Ruth, her mother-in-law, she said, don't call me sweetness. That was her name. Did you know that? Naomi? That means sweet thing. That was her name, sweet thing, sweetness. She says, don't call me sweetness. She changed her name. You know what she called herself? Bitter, Myra. Call me bitter. And she was bitter. Her husband died. Her boys died. She's moving back, got no money. And she's just angry. And she's got a foreign daughter-in-law who won't leave her because she told both of them, go away. One daughter-in-law left and went back to her people. The other one lived. She said, don't call me sweet thing anymore. Call me bitter. How many people know people like that? And it's usually women, just for the record, right? And we don't have a record of men calling themselves bitter. Why do women sometimes get more bitter than men? It happens. Because God's made you the emotional carrier in a relationship many times, because if you felt you've been done wrong, listen, we guys, y'all know how the brain works, right? We can't remember why we're mad. Because I call Derek sometimes and we talk about situations over the last 8 years. Hey, am I supposed to be angry about this, or is there something that's holding me up that I can't remember, right? Why are you looking at me? If you open up, has your husband ever opened up the refrigerator and said, where's the mayonnaise? Ketchup, whatever you like to choose. And the wife comes by and says, it's right there in the front. Who's ever experienced that? That's what I'm talking about. The men, we're locked in. We can get angry, but when we get angry, what do we want to do? Oftentimes, if you're not careful, we want to punch it out. We want to fight it out. Somehow, we want to control the situation, and we want to just deal with it. And a lot of times, if you're not careful, ladies will still be talking about it because God's giving you the gift of conversation, right? Isn't that true? Why? Everybody's looking to be mad at me today. I'm just telling you the truth, and you don't like it. Ladies, talk about it. You feel it, right? When in marriage, like when he says, I just wish, and I'm like, well, I can fix that. And she goes, I don't want it fixed. I just want to talk about it. And I'm like, I don't understand that concept. Why do you want to talk about it? Let's just fix it. Slap a Band-Aid on it. Go get stitches. Let's fix it. And it's over. But here in the Word of God, listen, we're the same way. Let brotherly love continue. Let somebody go, somebody. Listen, today, why do most people not go to church? If you're a guest with us, I'm sorry. Today you come in at a good time. Why do most people not go to church? Preacher, I've been church hurt. Has anyone ever been hurt in the church by anybody? Raise your hand. Look around. Yeah. God has given us the ability through the fruit of the Spirit, a hammer, some nails, and some wood. He wants us to build a bridge and get over it. Right? We have a purpose to fulfill. What is your purpose? Bring glory to God and enjoy Him. Say it with me. Bring glory to God. Well, y'all, you're not living at your purpose. I know exactly why you're not saying it, because you're not living it. Even if you're not a Christian today, you say, I don't believe in none of that stuff. It doesn't matter. You were created. You were who you are to bring God glory and to enjoy Him. You just don't know it yet. You're just in the dark still. Now, let's try it one more time with me. Lick your lips, because y'all know y'all been sitting for that. Let's try it. Somebody says, what is your purpose? I don't care who you are. You can be a Satan worshiper today. I don't care. Don't care your status. What is your purpose? Say it with me. Bring God glory and to enjoy Him. That's it. And when you embrace that and God changes your life, then what happens is love comes into your heart. And now you start looking different. You start acting different. People say, what's wrong with you? I don't know. What do you mean? There's a lot of things wrong with me. You seem to have joy. You know what joy equals? I know we made this up. J-O-Y. Write this down if you're taking notes. J, Jesus, first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the stuff you have need of will be added to you. O, others. Put Jesus first, others second, and then yourself last. The Bible says this, love God as you love, listen, what's next? Love others, your neighbors, as you love yourself. If you ever hear somebody say, I just can't love myself because all the things I've ever done. I can't forgive myself, Pastor. I hear that all the time. Pastor, I just can't forgive myself. And I always ask, who do you think you are? If God says he's forgiven you, are you better than God? I'm asking the question, are you better than God? In any capacity, in any way, are you better than God? So if God says he forgives you, who are you to stand in the gap and say, I just can't forgive myself? That comes from all the crazy mess that we have on Pandora and other places today to have call in 1-800 or ask AI. And the counselor just tells me, like, you'll get over it. It's just going to take a while. It's going to take 6 months. I'll see you every week, right? Now, bear one another's burdens. Listen, the Bible says there's safety in the multitude of counselors. So make sure you don't mix up what I'm saying. I'm saying we have a responsibility to get over ourselves because, listen, Satan will drive us right into the dirt and make us feel like dirt, tell us that we're dirt, and when we sin, we feel like dirt, and we're like, it'd be better if I just stepped out of this life. Everybody would be better off if I was not here. You ever been there, done that? Raise your hand if you ever have. I have. We call that the black dog of depression. It comes in and wants to set in. Listen, make sure you got safeguards and counselors around you in that situation. But what I'm trying to tell you is, listen, even through the darkest of times, God is the light. He never changes his light, ever. He loves you, and he wants you to express love. Does God take in consideration that we get depressed or down? You ever heard of Elijah? Mighty prophet of God, calls fire down from heaven. Was he depressed? I'm the last one. I mean, I laugh at him when I read the scripture sometimes, but I've been there myself. And I know people, if you knew my story, you might laugh and say, get over yourself, right? You preach it, now live it. It was Elijah. How about Moses? Was Moses ever in the dumps? Joshua, was he afraid? Scared to death, and he was a great commander of God's army. Gideon, go through the list. Look at Esther. She didn't know what to do. There were struggles throughout scripture. God, if I was God, I'd just write a perfect story, wouldn't you? So when you read the Bible, it goes, oh, and it like just shines every time. Every chapter is like this beautiful, beautiful. I just look, oh, God's awesome, God's awesome, God's awesome. What does he do in scripture? He said, it's real. I am holy God, righteous, and my people are not. They chose to sin against me. I made them perfect, but they chose to sin against me. But yet he loves us, and he gives us a way forward. Go to your notes, if you would, really quick. I want you to see this. Each day, we must heed the Holy Spirit's voice and labor to let love and hospitality lead, especially among the family of believers. We are called to be like Jesus Christ, warm, open-hearted, and gracious in spirit, freely sharing our comforts and our resources. Now, this gets hard right here. With willing hearts, with give our part generously, that love may dwell richly among us, and that we might make our master known and honored. Listen, when we help each other, it hurts sometimes. Did you know that? If I give you a piece of my pie, what's missing in my pie tray? My pie pan, what's missing? If I give you a piece of my pie, what's missing? A piece of pie. What if I really love my pie? What do I have? If I have a choice, I have a pie. What do I have a choice? Mine's key lime pie from Edisto. Have you ever been there? King's Market there. No one in the family likes it but me. It's a beautiful thing. We go to the beach. I have the whole pie, and it's big to myself, and it's good. And I got sugar issues, so I can't eat it like I'm not supposed to eat it, but it's good. Until my daughter-in-law from Greenville comes down, she loves it as much as I do. As a matter of fact, I think she loves it more than I do because I've seen the pie disappear faster in the fridge, and like, I don't remember eating two or three pieces. Where's the pie? So when you buy the pie, and the pie's kind of expensive, when you buy the pie and you cut a piece off, what are you doing in the back of your head? I'm thinking that's one last piece that I can have on the beach with a cup of coffee. I'm just like, that's one piece less. I wished everybody in the family hated it because then it would be mine. I'd rather throw it away than share it. Just in case I run out, right? That way I make it to the whole vacation with it. I can do a whole week of vacation with the pie. But if I have to share it, it costs me something, right? I got to give it away. Same thing with you. When you show brotherly love to others, listen, it's going to cost you something. When you extend a meal, when you take someone out to lunch, this is talking about hospitality. You say, well, how do you know that? Watch what it says. Let brotherly love, back to scripture, but brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for doing so, some have unwittingly or unknowingly entertained angels. How about that? Is that awesome or what? That's awesome. Is that still happening today? We look back at the Old Testament and say, who was entertaining the angels? Well, Abraham, just before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Jacob wrestled with an angel. The angel unlocked the Peter's irons and let him out in the New Testament. But don't look for the angel, look for the love. Don't look for the angel, look for opportunities to share the love. Well, make our master known as Jesus Christ. Make him famous as we live it out. Look to your notes again if you would, because I'm going to show you verse 3. When our love moves from word to action, heaven touches earth in simple acts of costly kindness. And I wrote this way to hopefully you can read this and understand this. Some of God's children, that's me, that's you if you're a Christian, some of God's children have loved on some of God's angels with hospitality without even knowing it. Does that blow your mind? You have potentially, if you're exercising this love, brotherly love continue, you potentially, God's child is touched and blessed one of God's angels, and who gets the glory? The Lord Jesus Christ. That is our purpose. Continue, I want you to see that. So love boldly, that's a command, because ordinary obedience may open the door to extraordinary glory. Let me read that again. So love boldly because ordinary obedience may open the door to extraordinary glory. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? And many believers have been and still are persecuted and imprisoned for the sake of the gospel. We are called not only to remember them, but to pray for the persecuted church and to stand with those in chains as if we were bound beside them. As a side note here, the prisons in the Old and New Testament, listen, it was not a rehab facility. They didn't make them better. They chained them to the wall. They beat them and left them there. They didn't feed them. It's not like today's prisons, because we do nursing home ministries. We've often said we need to take all of our senior adults in nursing homes and put them in prison. And we need to take all of our prisoners and put them in nursing homes. Because prisoners are often treated better than our senior adults in our senior living facilities sometimes. If you don't know that, if you've never done the ministry, don't tell me about it because you haven't seen it. Some of them are miserably left, I would call it abused. Families don't visit them anymore. That's how it used to be in the prison days. When he's talking about this, helping those in prison, it's not just doing prison ministry for the sake of doing prison ministry, and helping the wicked, vile, unrighteous ones who committed criminal acts. We are to help them. We see that when Jesus talked in Matthew 7. But this prison right here is specifically those who have been arrested for their faith. This is Paul and Silas locked up. They've been beaten. They've been chained to the wall. They're in fetters, and they have nobody. They have no food. They have nothing. And the jailer will not feed you while you're in jail. That's not his job. His job is to see to it that you stayed locked up. That's why when you read in the book of Acts, the Philippian jailer, he's shocked when the earthquake happens because they're singing hymns. They've been beat down. And listen, somebody's got to bring you food. What happens if I bring you food and you're locked to the wall? You have to use the bathroom right where you're standing and you're locked. Your feet are locked to the wall and your hands are locked to the wall. And I come by and see you and I bring fresh fruit. Or I bring something of that day. Think, put yourself back a couple thousand years. Put yourself in that place. Someone comes by with fresh bread. I'm getting hungry myself. What fresh bread? Wouldn't that be a great thing? You just smell it before you see it if you're in prison. That's what the writer of Hebrews is telling us. Listen, show hospitality. Because some of you have shown hospitality to angels and didn't even know it. And that's a beautiful picture. But we're not looking for angels. Again, we're looking for love. We're looking for actually to do what God commands us to do. Let's finish this out. We're called not only to remember, but to pray for the persecuted church. And we're going to do that today as we have time to leave today, because we're praying for Iran and our country and our nation. Listen, the church, every time there's a crisis, God sets loose the gospel. So don't minimize that. Listen, bad things are happening around the world. I don't care about your political views. You should be praying that the Lord Jesus Christ use every situation, every incident in the world for his glory, right? Because those people are made in his image as well. We are to care for those who are mistreated, knowing we share the same human frailty and the same bodies subject to suffering. Their pain is not distant. In Christ, it is our concern also. What the persecuted church is suffering around the world, you should feel that pain. If you haven't taken time to pray for the persecuted church, then you need to stop and pray. Lord, listen, not everyone has it like we have it. I don't care if you're rich or poor in America. Even if you're poor, you have it better than most people overseas. If you go and you travel to the third world countries and you see how people live, they have dirt floors. They have one goat they can eat, but they wait and wait and wait to kill it because in Kenya, where my friend's at, their daily meal is they bleed off the cows with a dart, an arrow in the neck, blood in a gourd, and then they milk another cow and they shake it, and that's what the kids have for their meal. You say that's gross, and I know children are here today, but you need to appreciate what you do have today. We are blessed. We're a blessed people. We're a blessed nation. God has brought about abundant blessings to us, but when you experience that, it will break your heart because they offer it to you. What would somebody, if I offered you a gourd and I just got warm blood from a cow and warm milk from another cow and I extend it to you, what is your natural response? Everyone here is going to go, ugh. And their response is, they love it because it's their nutrition that they have. We don't understand that because we don't live it daily, and we don't fully understand the scripture because we haven't lived a couple thousand years ago and actually seeing what the writer of Hebrews is saying. But we do see it. We just blot it out, right? Because if the television didn't tell us or social media didn't tell us, we don't understand it. But the church around the world is being persecuted, brothers and sisters, and we must pray for them that God would use us somehow to love on them and to extend the love. Well, finally, I have to cut it short here, but marriage, verse 4, marriage and all the sacred gifts that flow from it is honorable. And I'm going to try to keep it this way because the children are here today. I won't expand on this verse. We'll pick up some more next week. In love, God himself ordained it. He ordained marriage between one man and one woman. The church should have said amen on that. God has ordained marriage between one man and one woman. Everything else is from Satan. Everything else is not from God. God had one man, Adam, one woman, Eve. The end. That's it. But our society says, the Supreme Court said, listen, the Supreme God has already spoken. Marriage is between one man and one woman. He placed great value on marriage and on the covenant it represents. Culture has sought to diminish and distort it. For marriage stands as a living picture, if you read Ephesians 5, of Jesus Christ and his church. If Satan strikes at marriage and you strike at that holy image, if you wound the covenant and both the witness of the church and the watching world feel the ache, and you can go back and read those scriptures, and I don't have time to finish that today. But what's happening in our society today? No fault divorce, just because you don't get along, let's just break it up. Let's marry whomever, whenever, how many, whenever. Listen, that's not how God ordained it. God ordained marriage between one man and one woman. You said, why is that even in that passage? Because it starts with L-O-V-E, that's why. Starts with God's love. And marriage, if you read Ephesians 5, Paul writes about marriage. He says, listen, I'm not even talking about marriage. I'm talking about Jesus Christ and his church. Jesus is the head of the church. Is that true from Scripture? And the church is his bride. Is that true? The righteous ones. And when those two come together, it's a picture of Jesus would never betray his church. Right? He would never betray his wife. And a husband should never betray his wife, and a wife should never betray her husband. That's the picture God ordained in marriage. I know that seems difficult in our culture today because it's easy believism. We just walk it out. But I want to challenge you with that today. Let love, let it be without hypocrisy. Let love be first and foremost in your life. Let me pray for us today. Father God, as we prepare our hearts to receive the elements of the Lord's Supper, today, Lord, may we honor you in all that we say and do. This love business is hard for most of us because whether we're hard-hearted or we're just tough or whatever we call it, or we're callous, we're not used to it, we haven't heard it, we're ignorant, whatever the reason might be, Lord, I just pray today that you would actually start working in our hearts so we can actually see you mean business with this, and Lord, we should as well. Help us today. We love you. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray, for his sake. Amen.